Welcome to Technology Rocks. It's Friday! It's your Friday cast on a Friday. I know, believe it or not, this is us on a Friday because we're typically not on Friday. We're usually on Saturday trying to say it's Friday and it's
Friday.
And I officially
started with our Tony old school style. Tony the Forgotten has not been forgotten. He's actually coming out of the loo.
So, with that being said, I don't know if you heard Wednesday's episode. We had a party crasher and a fart gun that's actually now been brought into the studio. So if you're eating while listening to this, my apologies in all of the things. Yeah, that one. Tony's now sitting on the microphone again. So movie news. I cannot cover movie news again without talking about Deadpool Wolverine. Deadpool Wolverine trailer, 2-minute, 39-second trailer where we actually get to see Hugh Jackman. Do not watch this trailer with your children around. There's a lot of F-bomb diggities and a lot of adult humor that's been built into this trailer. So it's going to be very much a rated R movie, very much a blood, gut, and gore movie. As a Wolverine Deadpool movie should be. Nobody wants to see a PG-13 Deadpool movie. So, yes, but you get to see Hugh Jackman. Lots and lots of Easter eggs in this movie. So it kind of dumps you out into no man's land, Mad Max style. A lot of different superheroes that you haven't seen since X-Men Last Stand and Wolverine, and just there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on all at once. So even a lot of times you got to watch it a few times. Alien Romulus still ready to top the charts with the Alien trailer that Tony still hasn't watched, but it's still out there.
I watched the Back to the Future trilogy over the weekend.
No. Everybody's seen the Back to the Future. That's not helpful at all. Like, not even. Did you even watch the new Beetlejuice trailer? Have you watched any? Why are you a horrible? You call yourself a movie buff.
I watch like a million movies on my days off.
Days off. What's a day off? I don't have those like at all.
On my day off.
So we skip local news. Local news. We're gonna go backwards for a minute. Comic Palooza, Back to the Future cast is going to be there. That's the new announcement. Also, Rebecca Romijn's gonna be there.
Stamost.
Well, no. She's no longer Stamost. Just Rebecca Romijn. Hasn't been Stamost in
Romijn
probably,
like the lettuce.
Yes, just like the lettuce, actually. She's going to be there. Napoleon Dynamite's going to be there. A bunch of people. There is actually going to be a nightlife type of party there. So if you want to party with the Comic Paloozians, all kinds of fun things, all the things. It's going to be there 24th, 25th, 26th. So basically Memorial Day weekend. Just remember Memorial Day weekend. You're good to go. Still don't have anything new on the movie trivia situation.
He still has no information on the situation.
No word from Shelley on the movie trivia situation or Wine and Vinyl.
Actually, she's waiting on us for Wine and Vinyl, so that last statement's actually not quite fair. So I think we mentioned on the last cast, Venom, the new Venom movie, is getting moved up.
I won't do it again, but it's going through my head. It's driving me crazy.
No, don't do it. in the queue, it's going to be an October release, not a
25th.
September, or no, not a November release because of said election, or if that's what you want to call it. So,
forced decision.
Democracy decision. Yeah, no, so. But that's about it for movie. Right now, the only thing people are talking about is Deadpool Wolverine. So that movie is going to just absolutely explode the internet as the Joker 2 release trailer did, which Tony also did not watch because he's making me watch all the trailers So, or he just didn't watch it.
I did watch some of the Chucky series, the new season. Not digging it. It's not good. But there is Rob Zombie's coming out with the series called Fred.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll see how he does this, because
that's a Halloween release, right? Like September, October,
somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah. What about Derry? When is that one coming out?
That I've got to look that up, because I've been seeing more like promo, like just like pictures for it and all. So I have a feeling that it's coming up soon. I'm going to have to research that. In fact, let me just see.
Okay, so Derry is a spinoff. It's a TV. It's like a prequel to the It 1 and 2 movies, with Bill Skarsgård playing the It. We kind of went into Bill Skarsgård's going to
Pennywise.
So he's going to play Pennywise.
Pennywise.
Yeah. Okay, so he's playing Pennywise, or he did play Pennywise.
The dancing clown, remember?
Yeah.
I'm Pennywise, the dancing clown. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, Jesus. I apologize, everyone.
See Tony's disappointment. My name is Bane.
Yeah, no. So, what was the line that he said? It must be...
I was born into darkness.
Yeah. No. Why? The question is why are you shooting a man before throwing him from a plane? Yeah, no.
It's kind of a waste.
It was a valid point, you know, Tom Hardy and playing Bane. So anyway, we digressed because we're children. We're man children. So, but anyway, Paramount had some big news with live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Last Ronin movie.
Real quick to go back to your question about Derry, is it's been set to release in 2025.
Oh, then why are they?
They have pushed it way back, because it was originally supposed to come out in the Halloween time frame this year, but.
Maybe they're holding it was pushed out to back see due how bad to Rob Zombie's fly.
Well, actually, remember that big writer's strike that was going on in Hollywood? Remember where everybody?
Right. Yeah. No.
Of that whole strike, that's actually what slowed it down. So, so all the guys that get paid way too much money to write TV shows, you know. So now are getting their money again.
Pulp
so.
Fiction turns 30.
Pulp Friction.
You're welcome. Wow, it's old. We're old. We're old.
See, you know, I don't know where you stand on this, but I actually like Reservoir Dogs better.
I don't know. Well, see, Pulp Fiction just has a ton of one-liners. I mean... just every Samuel Jackson made that movie. If it hadn't been for Samuel Jackson, well, and Quentin Tarantino, everybody was good. Literally everybody was good in Pulp Fiction.
I was about to say, pretty much everybody had like a line that was memorable in that movie.
But I did love Reservoir Dogs. I think Reservoir Dogs was also really good.
I love when they ripped on Madonna. It was great.
Yeah. So, all right, moving into Abigail. That's
That looks like it's going to be finally like an
or it's coming out. I think it's coming out. Halloween thing, right?
I think that's it's another, actually before then. Let me just verify.
Yeah,
that
I think
date.
That's another Halloween thing, but yeah, no. So, that'll be a good one.
2024.
So, yeah, I think
that's actually already out. Came out on the 19th.
It did?
According to the quick facts here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've got to go see that. So that's...
Yeah,
that's,
I didn't realize that Abigail was
What am I not doing this weekend?
Tony is not going to see a movie because...
Tony never sees movies. He talks about seeing movies, but I can't even get him to watch a trailer.
I've already told you, I watch many trailers on the way to work every day.
Okay, so moving up the charts to new technology release, Wim I don't know if you're familiar with WIM. So WIM is
W-I-I. Really awesome technology that's coming up fast.
It's, some people call it WIM. Some people call it WIM. I have no flipping.
I would say WIM because it's the same way as with the Nintendo Wii. Remember, it was W-I-I. Even,
so if you go back and look at our YouTube channel, Tony and I did a review of the streamer, the WIM Pro streamer.
Yeah, we did like an unboxing of it.
And I basically said, WIM, WIM, don't know. And I called it 15 different things, 15 different times in each one of those videos. So they have already released their amplifier. So it acts. So the interesting thing about their amplifier, we may do an open box or an unboxing thing with the amp. It's actually an audiophile, low THD amplifier, and in comparison to the Sonos amplifier, the Sonos amp is not low THD, meaning it's somewhat noisier than the WIM. So if you're looking for a cheaper streaming audio solution that still packs a punch, the WIM Pro is a really cool device. Now
they've
also released tech data that WIM Pro is coming out with a higher fidelity streamer with a touchscreen and a higher fidelity streaming amplifier with the touchscreen up and coming. So really coming right after Sonos and now jumping after NAD and name.
I was about to say, it looks very, very similar to the name Atom.
This looks very familiar. What a lovely, lovely choice.
Yeah, no, so I don't know why I turned into Bane all of a sudden. It just seems appropriate. I'm sorry. I'm practicing my voices for the next week and a half. It's going to be fine, so I'm sorry for my annoyance. Anyway, so WIM Pro, Sony XBR Camp, that'll be local news. So Sony is going to have, they are coming down here for a trunk show on June 3rd. Andrew Turner from Sony is actually coming into town, and he's going to be here to show you all the things that are Sony. And
that's like before it's released kind of stuff.
Yeah, you won't see these TVs release until late June, early July. Yeah.
So if you call us and we take you to this show, you're actually like getting to see on an elite level.
Yeah, you'll see it before Best Buy does. Yeah, you'll see it before any of the big box stores and all that good stuff. So still no news on what's going on with the Best Buy sector other than they lost Vizio because Vizio was purchased by Walmart, and then they now have laid off several of their technician staff. So lots of weird things going on.
Dwindling down. It's not looking good, actually.
No, it's not looking good at all.
Don't think that's... I agree with you. We need stores like that. You know, just like we need Walmart, you know? It's one of those things where it's... They get some of the stuff that's like the quick grab-and-go stuff.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you come to us for, you know, a bigger, more... detailed experience, but also, I mean, they just have, you know, the stuff that you need. So I really don't see it being a good thing for a powerhouse like that to actually like drift out of the picture.
No, I would agree with you there. I think it's going to leave a gaping hole in the consumer tech world. And they bring a lot of market awareness, other market awareness and that type of news. Tesla, actually, they're on the list. Tesla profits have actually completely come to almost a halt as they struggle with the Tesla truck that's been giving them a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's been a lot of recalls and a lot of like issues that people have had, even with, weren't they having problems with the gas pedal sticking?
Yeah, the gas pedal was sticking, and then now they've recently just hit a six-year market low, which, to be honest, here's the thing with Tesla. People are going to throw rocks at the Tesla bucket because they don't understand the brain that is Elon Musk. So,
he has an intelligence level that I can't comprehend. And, you know, you can hate on the guy if you want, but I mean, he's smart as hell.
Yeah.
I don't get the people that really like hate on him. I know. I mean, It's hard to like somebody that knows so much more than you, but it's also like one of those things where it's like, at the same time, learn from the guy.
Yeah. No, I understand that. So, yeah, so there's a lot of interesting thing. More new tech news. Sonos. Sonos is doing a new app update coming June 7th. So June 7th, Sony.
User beware.
Correct. Yeah. No. User beware. Well, I don't know. I mean, what they're doing is they're getting rid of a lot of the same apps that are going. A lot of the same features that are redundant, and they're supposed to be slimming that down, and then also giving people customization on the actual app where they can change that stuff up.
Is that going to make it to where it's easier or not easier, but possible to use with the older equipment, or is it?
No. Well, you can still use stuff with older equipment, but again, you have to backdate the newer equipment to be compatible with the older equipment, meaning features or
AirPlay, then you're going to lose things like AirPlay.
Apple Music's not going to translate. AirPlay's not going to translate. And then the only issue with that is as the music streaming services on the app developers start upgrading their apps, then that stuff is going to change down the line as well. So there's a lot of things that are going on there.
Gotcha. Okay. I just, you know, like sometimes, you know, a company will say, you know, it actually is more beneficial to make it compatible with the older stuff. But obviously, they're not going in that direction on this.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, so there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe on that front. It just depends on, you know, it's going to be a wait and see. It's anytime they launch an app like that, it's always going to be a clunky experience in the very beginning. And then as it continues, it'll get better. Sonos has always been really good about testing the app and trying to get through that. So that would be cool. That's some new technology news coming down the pipe. Really nothing new with Hacked. There's nothing new in the Hacked section. I think Ian pretty much covered that
best
we could. So we'll kind of look for some new news. Hopefully not new news on the Hacked section.
New news.
Yeah, that's just news that you don't want or we don't want to see or announce. But Apple launching a new iPad event on May 7th, so look for new iPads coming down the pipe. I know there's some where they've talked about OLED stuff and whatnot and all that good stuff. So there's a lot of really, really cool things coming down the pipe from Apple. I don't think they're putting a whole lot of eggs left in the Vision Pro basket because I don't think it got traction the way they wanted it to. So there's just a lot of fun things and a lot of cool stuff that's coming down. So I'm interested to see what the Sonos thing looks at. I'm interested to see what the Wim Pro thing. I do not have a launch date on the Wim Pro device as of yet, so it's kind of we know it's coming. For those that are Wim fans, it's the direct Sonos competitor, but it's like a quarter of the price of Sonos, so we'll just kind of have to wait and see on that territory. So anyway, let's go into our technology topic of the day, which is artificial intelligence. So I know Tony and I covered this a little bit. There was a client write-in asking a few questions, but the problem with artificial intelligence is that it's multifaceted, meaning should we be afraid of it? Why should we be afraid of it? How we should be afraid of it? What can we do to stay away from it? All absolutely amazing questions, but I have good.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to stay away from it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I have good news and bad news about this. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed just in the past few days, maybe even the past, I think it's in the past week, that you now have artificial intelligence built into your Facebook. So there's, instead of a search engine, it's an artificial AI. If you've typed anything in there or if you hit that AI button, it's actually now listening to you, and then it will start creating answers to your questions that you may or may not speak into it, whether it be about an actor, whether it be about a person, whether it be about a subject and whatnot. So I tried it out. I just hit it, and then I hit it by accident, and then it all of a sudden said certain topics about so-and-so, you know, like certain topics about a random person that was
mentioned in the conversation.
That I'd mentioned in the conversation, and then it posted the answer in my messenger. Like it posted that answer in, hang on, actually, I can still look at.
Like sending stuff for you?
Yeah. So I was looking something about Joe Rogan, and I had said, so this thing that pops up that says Meta AI, and it says, my name is Meta AI. Think of me as like an assistant who's here to help, you know, plan, connect, and what can I help you with today? So... And I said, I think the question was something about Joe Rogan and his UFC commentary. So it literally found 10 things about Joe Rogan and found quotes from that particular person in a matter of seconds and then messaged it to me in a matter of seconds. So, I mean, literally, I could hit that Meta thing and say, hey, find me a new tech topic to talk about. And then maybe we should try that. Yeah, he would find, you know, 10 random tech topics about this topic, about what it can find, and what it does is it scrapes a database. So the thing is unfortunately, there's not a way you can stay away from it. You know, unless you're going to go live in a cabin in the woods and use a flip phone, and not use Androids or iPhones.
Didn't they try that at some point in Terminator, and even that didn't work?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Well, the thing is it's not going anywhere. Right now, I see artificial intelligence is very much like a fumbling toddler in most cases and in most avenues.
But that toddler's going to grow up.
Well, and that's because you... keep feeding it, not you meaning you.
No,
the general public every second of the day, every minute of the day keeps feeding the monster that's going to cannibalize them, as well as your phone is actually listening to you on the back end. So that's not tinfoil hat category. There was another There was another question that had said, you know, is it a placebo effect or is it me tinfoil hat style, that if I talk about something and then all of a sudden I get a random email about that's not coincidence at all. You know, and I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. That's not coincidence at all. That is actually that stuff really happens. So it happens in several different ways, shapes, and forms. It happens through your computer. It happens through your phone. It happens through
the apps that you choose to put on your phone.
Your watch, your earbuds, which are definitely, if you're wearing your earbud, they're connected to your phone. That type of thing is still listening to you, whether you like it or not. And here's the thing. You agreed to it. You agree to this when you click on terms and agreement. And so, no, AI is not.
We're not saying that wasn't, you know, somewhat, you know, out of necessity. You know, if you wanted to use your new device, you either had to agree to it.
Phone, yeah, then you have to agree to it. So, but that's a great question. It's a great question. It's affecting a lot of industries. It's actually affecting the education system. You know, there are kids that aren't writing reports anymore. They're having AIs write their reports. You know, and you.
But there are some college professors that instead of fighting it, just started like working with them on that.
Yeah, no. So I know in the artist community, it's kind of it's a huge controversial topic in the artist community.
It's
so
pretty big cut right now.
It's a really big cut in what's going on, and it's just here.
Comic Palooza is going to be my first outing to really see.
Did you go to Comic Palooza last? You weren't a vendor at the show.
Yeah, but I didn't end up getting to go. I was going to go to it, but I didn't get to make it out to it. But yeah, I'm curious to see, like, since AI is a category now, if there's actually anybody at the show selling their AI work. Because here's my opinion on it is the person that creates that amazing piece of artwork with what they typed out in AI means that they are an amazing writer, because then the computer could figure out from what they wrote what image to create.
So I have a hit or miss, and we kind of covered this with AI on a previous show. But I'm a songwriter. I write music. I write scripting. I write dialogue. I do a lot. So just not professionally. I mean, music professionally, but not in a on the comic side and stuff like that. Not professionally as of yet, but. But I'm a writer, I'm an artist, I can write things out of thin air and whatnot. And so I played with it. There was a thing called ChatGPT, and I said, I put in a quarter of my song, and I basically said, finish my song, finish the song. And it did. And then you can add things that says, no, make it a little bit more aggressive, or make it a little bit more romantic, or maybe make it angry, or make it, and then it kind of goes in back into it and modifies.
You start
it.
Having to go into what I'm talking about, being a writer.
But it's not good. Like, there wasn't one song, and maybe it was just a bad song. But
well, no. What I was going to say is, like what I was talking about earlier, is it's all in how you word it with AI.
So there's a song, there's several songs that I've finished that I put into this algorithm as well, just to play with it.
Okay.
Just to see what it did, and it was awful. Even the version that it tried to modify, the modified version was awful, because it was just it was
mechanical.
Well, it's still,
it didn't have that heart to it.
It's still missing pieces to it, and I played it with it on the artistry. I know you and I are working on a comic book project together that we're hopefully going to turn into a cartoon. But on that front, I said, okay, draw me a character in space. Okay, draw me a character in space with a scar on his face. Okay, draw me a character in space with a scar on his face, but I want the spacesuit to be this color. Here's the problem. It drew a different picture every time.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
It won't just modify a small thing in the picture that you like. So it's just, it tries to recreate a picture every time. It's not baked yet. So, but if I were an artist,
you would have thought they'd have it right by now. They started this back in, 1984?
But if I was an artist and said, hey, draw me this and this and that, and it looks halfway cool, okay, print it, and then that's what a lot of those folks are doing right now at the moment, that are somewhat, I guess, successful with it. So here's the bottom line. AI is not going anywhere, but unfortunately, there's no way you can stay away from it. It's going to be the way of life. However, I am very cognizant of the apps I put on my phone. I do not put AI apps on my phone. I delete them immediately. The curiosity got the best of me, so I started trying a few of them. Of course, they all want money right up front. They'll let you play with it a little bit.
They'll let you do a trial, but they want your credit card number, and I'm not comfortable with
that.
No,
yeah, and that's the thing, is just at the end of the day, it's spooky at best, but here's the thing. I just saw an article yesterday where they had the first AI drone battle, meaning they had their first AI drone dogfight.
Basically, the first, inklings of war.
Well, so Google has been heavily scrutinized in this platform. So Google actually is one of the few entities like that that actually own a weapons division or a drone division. And they bought this division probably 15 years ago, maybe 10 to 15 years ago. They actually own their own drone platform. And that's the platform it was tested on, where they had a simulated AI plane that was simulating a dogfight, meaning they were trying to attack one another in midair, and they were successful at doing it. One of them finally shot down the other one. So that was run just a few days ago. So again, I'm not saying it's Cyberdyne or it's the end of the world or the Terminator music playing in the background, but it is a technology that you need to be cognizant of. We get AI phone calls every day. Like, literally every day we get an AI phone call, and it sounds like a real human being half the time when you're talking to them. Except they don't accept sarcasm. When you throw sarcasm at it, which is...
They get lost.
They get really lost because they're like, what crazy human being would actually say this? So, yeah, so... that's a great question, though. Thank you for that, the listener question on the artificial intelligence. But unfortunately, no, I don't think it's going anywhere. Yes, I think you need to be cognizant of it. Scared of it, I think that's a little on the extreme side. But cognizant and aware, I would say yes. My 10,000-foot level spectrum on that particular subject is I think it's going to go off the rails for a little bit. They're going to have to rein it in and put steps and rules in place, which they already should be doing, which they haven't done yet. And then you're going to start seeing regulations on artificial intelligence. So it just, but it's going to take time.
That's been a hot topic.
You got to have a government that's smart enough to do that, though. Because right now we're still in a very analog government. It's very interesting. It's still a very interesting scenario. They don't understand a lot of the checks and balances within this territory. The guy that even created it has now stepped away from it because he was scared of the world that it could create. And so there's just lots of things that could
going
go to it.
Create.
Are going that hasn't created as of yet. So, yeah. So I would say, yeah, that is a valid concern, a valid, you have valid reasoning behind being concerned with that. Again, I don't think you're going to see Arnold Schwarzenegger pop out anytime soon and start knocking on your door with sunglasses and a red eye. But it's definitely something that you want to be cognizant of which technologies you are comfortable with bringing into your home. Some people don't care, you know, like Ian, high-tech redneck. He's one of those that has Alexas out the yin-yang in literally almost every room in his house and just absolutely enjoys that technology.
Hating on that at all?
Well, no. The thing is you're not going to get... Even if you stay away from it, you're not away from it. That's the thing.
It's always there.
Yeah, unless you're carrying a Razer flip phone from 1990s with a SIM card... You're not going to get away from it. You know, there's anything that reaches out to the internet or has a microphone that reaches out to the internet. You're already in it. You know, there's just really no way to veer away from and step out of that scenario. But great question. That's a great question. We get asked that a lot. I did think it was interesting that Facebook started implementing it. Did it come up on Droids too? Do you see the AI button now? It looks like a little purple and blue circle now everywhere on your Facebook page. So it's literally everywhere. And, I think they're calling it Meta.
Oh, that circle at the top?
That's AI. Yeah, that's Meta. Yeah, that's
listening
the,
to me talk right now, which I don't like.
Yeah, no, that's the Metaverse. That's what they call Meta, M-E-T-A. So, yeah, so it's on Androids as well. There's just, guys, you know, it's just... There's no way to stay away from that technology unless you just don't use it. You know, if you get off Facebook, you get off Instagram, things like that, that'll help. But, you know, if you start talking about dog collars, you're going to see an email about dog collars. You know what I mean? It's just the what your device does now. It's the terms that you've agreed to. So, but awesome question.
And it's really a question that we're just going to have to slowly, as things evolve, you know, provide you more information as we get it. Because that's just something that's changing constantly, and it's actually changing faster than you can imagine, because the computer can think faster than we can. So when it's getting input from thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people all at once, we're making it to where eventually it's going to think way better than we can, just because we've already provided it with all the data it needs.
Well, you taught it to think. Yeah, no, it's one of those where the more and more people that keep feeding that type of animal, you're feeding, the phrase I like to use is you're feeding the monster that's going to cannibalize you. You know, you're feeding the thing that's you're afraid of, and that's going to eventually take over lots and lots of things. And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom and whatnot and everything else, but hey, you asked the question, so we answered the question.
We answered the call.
Yeah, no. So, and that's how we roll, you know, no matter how the question's asked, and then we'll jump into that. A lot of news on the TikTok ban. The reason why is because, again, once again, it's an AI filled thing that's feeding intelligence back to foreign countries and whatnot, and we don't deem that to be safe here in the United States. So as we start darkening the doorway of all this craziness and what's going on. So let's see. This is going to be, we're just going to answer client questions on this one. So I think, but that was a good one. I actually enjoyed that one quite a bit. Okay, so I got another one. So this next one is about Disney, no less. No, not about planning a trip to Disney, so don't get too excited there, Tony.
Why'd you have to burst my bubble like that?
Well, the question is, with the stream, you know, you guys have mentioned the streaming bubble about to burst, and the last episode, this person actually really pays attention. The last episode was, or a few episodes ago, you talked about that Disney was on a fight with their board members. Do you see the fall? Are you predicting a fall of Disney?
No way.
No, not at all. I think so. The board thing, we haven't reported about it in a bit, but Bob Iger is actually slayed the board, but he has an allotted time limit to turn the Disney streaming camp around and make it profitable. And if he does not, then there are penalties and things that he's got that he has to do. And he has to bring Disney what's called a positive creative direction, which I think he's already done that with Deadpool Wolverine. I think as soon as that movie launches, it's going to put $1 billion in Disney's pocket almost immediately, based on the trailer we just saw today in the trailer, that it's the highest viewed trailer in the past 12 hours, literally in the history of movie trailers. I don't know how accurate that is, but they had over 12 million views in a span of about 3 hours as soon as it launched.
Pretty yeah. impressive.
Yeah, no, and I don't even know. You can probably go look and see what it's at now. So, no, Disney's not going anywhere. Disney's not going anywhere. I think what you're going to see with this streaming bubble burst, as people like to say, is that you're going to start seeing brands consolidate. I think you're going to see the cable service providers probably come out on top, just because they've been doing RMR, the RMR business platform, longer than some of these companies that have just jumped in the platform, meaning Paramount Plus, that's now consolidated with Showtime. You've got... oh, good grief. There's another one. Netflix, it's been doing it for a while. I don't think they're going to partner up with anybody. And
22 million views.
Yeah, 22 million views, and I think it's been out a little over 14 hours. Yeah, no. So that's a billion-dollar movie. That's going to be a billion-dollar movie, hands down. It'll probably one of the, be the biggest grossing movie that Disney's had in the past probably 10 years. I know Star Wars, when it first was re-released, was 100 million or up to 100 million. So, no, I don't think Disney's going anywhere. I really don't. I don't think it is kind of spooky for them, but you're talking about a camp with an unlimited piggy bank. I mean, they've got irons in ESPN, they've got irons in several of them, but no, I don't think they're going to go anywhere anytime soon, but the clock is ticking for Iger to start turning that stuff around. So, for sure, that's definitely one of those things that's gonna happen. But again, Bob Iger is kind of the creative direction behind some of the Marvel camp stuff. He's been very heavily involved with the Marvel stuff. What happened is they saw all of those entities tank. They saw Marvel tank. They even saw Star Wars tank. And, you know, a lot of the big thing, you know, Indiana Jones didn't do well. A lot of the things they had a lot of money invested in, and we're hoping we're going to blow it out of the stratosphere. I just don't think it's going to happen. So here's one for you, T-Dog, on this front. It's, you know, AI moving in the general direction that it's moving. Are you afraid of losing your job as a graphical artist? You know, what is your fear with that?
Well, I do have that fear because somebody that has better ability to write a description of something, they can create an image off of that description just because they're better at writing than me. You know, that does make me kind of scared because as an artist, I've had to learn how to use all these tools and all of that. And I'm creating these images. I'm not, you know, writing out amazing paragraphs that create beautiful images.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really weigh in on that one. That's why
the images that AI is creating, I can't lie and say, oh, they're not good or anything like that. They're great pieces, and it's just, you know, me and the rest of physical media artists, you know, whatever our medium may be, whether it be painting or whatever, you know, we've got to sit there and figure out, do we embrace it and start using it ourselves, or what do we do? Yeah. It's kind of like it's in a place right now that I just don't know where it's going to go, but I hope I don't get beat out by a writer because they can write better, and then the computer can create better images from their writing. But that person, in my opinion, is not an artist at that point. The computer is the artist. They're a writer.
Yeah, no, I think on the musical artistry side, I'm not... That's a two-part question. I mean, mainly because music has been so baked and canned, you know, now that it wouldn't it be funny if you found out if something like, you know, somebody like Clive Davis was using AI all along? You know, it would make sense. It would make a lot of sense. But I just think music is more of an emotional.
Well, there was the scene in, I think it was Artificial Intelligence, where they gave the guy the hands because he lost his hands, but he was a guitar player and he went to play, and his brain was telling these hands what to do, but when it got to the emotional part of it, the artificial hands couldn't understand, and they would like freak out.
Right. Yeah. No. And that's kind of.
So I think that goes along with what you were saying, is like there's emotion in it, which
there's a lot of emotion in art too. Those, you know, sometimes something may look random to you, but that was planned out by whoever put that stripe of paint that you think is just random.
Well, and I think in any artistry, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, or you feel differently, weigh in and feel differently on this one. I think on any artistry, you end up borrowing from a different concept. You know, it's like, it very rarely do you have things that are completely out there and original, 100% original and things like that. It's always something that you subliminally saw or heard.
Well, it's because we hear music around us all the time.
Well, right. And there's only so many notes with A, B, C, D, E, and F, and then sharp, and then minor and major, and, you know, things like that that you can cook up.
Yeah, but then you can create a whole new drop tuning or something.
Well, but it's still the same variation of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, and that's the thing. But
true.
But
not disagreeing on anything.
I mean, even George Lucas said, you know, Star Wars had hints of Dune in it. You know, Dune came out way before as a book, before Star Wars was ever created. You know, and
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is in any type of artistry, certain people borrow from other things. Now, they don't make a direct clone of that thing, but I think there's always something subliminally that you're paying homage to that caught your eye and whatever. But I don't see that being a threat in the musical side of things, more so than what's affecting Tony at the moment on that. So next question is, unless you got something else on that.
No, I was just going to agree with you. Like, the thing is, like, with what I do, and I hope I'm not giving people ideas, because I really don't want to give people ideas on this, but, you know, somebody that's a great writer, I think could tell AI to create something way better than I could, but the difference is I hand did it, and there's not going to be any more than that one.
Yeah, no.
You
know,
you can do prints of it, you can do stuff like that and all, but there's only one original that somebody by hand did.
Yeah, no, I think that's it on that one. I mean, I don't think I have anything that I can't say any better in any way. Next question's an easy one. Is Kaleidoscape coming out with a more affordable unit? I can't answer that question, so I don't know. I officially don't know.
Maybe the dream I had the other night was just like, you know, my
maybe it's your lottery dream, they're or subliminal,
like,
dream.
Maybe that was just subliminally I was getting the information that they are, but I don't know.
No, I think officially I can't.
Well, a lot of things have changed also because you've had the whole thing with cinemas now that's going to.
Well, so I'm excited about the cinema thing. I think the cinema thing is going to create a market awareness for Kaleidoscape, and people are going to start looking at, hey, what is this Kaleidoscape thing? So I would say this. Stay tuned for Cedia. So Cedia happens in September. If anything news coming
this year.
It's in Denver. Yeah, no, it's going to be in Colorado again. So I would say keep an eye out for what happens in Cedia. I'm not saying that I know anything. I'm not saying that I have a crystal ball. I'm not saying that they've told me anything. What I'm saying is,
just been saying the whole time we need something.
If
more affordable.
Something's going to be launched, it's going to happen in September, you know, it's probably mid-September when Cedia, because you got to remember all the conventions and expos are starting. Expona just happened a weekend ago. You know, we had Expona, we've got Cedia coming up within the next few weeks, next few months. You know, we got Cedia coming up. There's always a bunch of hidden stuff that's going to pop in August and September to get the market frenzy going on. I would say if they're going to announce something, they're going to announce it in September. So, but I don't know anything about that. I would love for that device to be available to the masses. It desperately needs to be more affordable, for it to be adopted for all as our hard disk media starts dwindling down. Did you see that? I sent an article to you the other day. I've actually, the client sent it to me, that's asking the same thing about the Kaleidoscape, is that Target and Walmart are now stepping off of hard disk media. They're going to discontinue hard disk media. Target's going to be first, and then Walmart says they're probably going to be done toward the end of 2025. So that's two giant albatrosses. Now, Target said they weren't completely stepping away from it. They're just not going to utilize floor space for it, that you can still order it online. Walmart kind of said the same canned response, that they weren't going to utilize sections in their floor for it, that they were also going to continue. Target seemed like it was going to be a right away type of thing, and then Walmart stated that it was going to be 2025. So that sucks for the disc warrior, storm the hill demand on that. So yeah, no, I'll reiterate, we need a cheaper Kaleidoscape for that reason, just because it will get harder and harder to start finding that type of media. That, or somebody, one of these studios is going to have to set up an online store through one of those platforms to cater to the, I would say, limited masses now that's still interested in collecting hard disk media. So, which I'm a media guy. I'm a hard disk media guy. I think it's fun to look for, fun to collect, fun to have a shelf full of that stuff. And even though I haven't had shelves full of that stuff in a long time, but
well, you know, like the cool thing about, like, hey, you go meet this celebrity and you get your poster signed or you get your DVD signed and all. What are you gonna do now? Say, hey, can you sign my flash drive?
Yeah. No, I completely. It's right. Just.
I don't know. I guess that's another reason why it's like, you know, I've got CDs and movies and all kinds of stuff that are autographed by people and all. So it's like, but if everything was streaming, I would have never gotten that.
Can you sign my Apple TV?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Can you? Yeah. No. That's. I don't know.
I use streaming. I'm not
as much as I want
to
say stay optimistic. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel there. I really don't. Not for 10 years or so, and who knows where we'll be then. So, but
we may finally have our flying cars.
Do you really want them though? That's the thing. Is people don't even watch the road now. Do you really want them in the air? So
we could have autopilot.
Yeah. Well, that's true. So. Here's what I think. I think the streaming bubble is going to burst. That's definitely going to happen. I think you're going to see lots of media forms of media consolidate and join one team. I think that's going to happen. You're going to have fewer choices because you're going to have that to make it affordable, because people are canceling left and right. I know I've canceled several left and right just because I just don't watch them all. You know, I've got a few hours at night to watch things when I am watching things. And I just don't have time to cater to all that stuff. So, we'll
have all the streaming platforms also, because it's too expensive.
Man. Yeah, I don't think Disney, I don't think ESPN's going to get this thing off the ground. They've been sued into oblivion now by Fubo, Dish, and then DirecTV. Xfinity has also stepped up into that plate, but I think they're joining the other side. I think they're actually joining the Disney side. So, I don't think that argument's going to be settled anytime soon. Again, there's not enough money to go around. There's just not enough pieces of $19 a piece for everybody. You're either going to have to go exponentially way up on your price to make it to where it makes sense again, or you're going to have to shut it down. You know, like I said, the writing's on the wall for Disney. That just happened. That article had just happened. And they said, nope, okay, we'll back off, but you're going to have to make it profitable again, and you're going to have to figure out the streaming thing that you put all this money into. And they're not wrong. I mean, they're not wrong. Disney also let go of their main tech guy that was behind the streaming platform. They actually fired him, and it was just officially announced that it was creative differences, and then he was let go or relieved of his position. So that's fancy talk for he got fired. So there's
fancy talk for get out the door. We don't need you.
Well, it's get out of the door. We can't afford you anymore is what it was. So yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe with that. So only time will tell, and we'll just have to see what happens on this front and then kind of go from there. But no, I don't think Disc is making a comeback because of the streaming bubble burst. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. I think you're going to start seeing some of these stores shrink. I know. I mean, but here's the thing. The Disc aren't a giant revenue generator for Walmart or Target. So I don't see that. I don't see that coming into play like it came into play with Best Buy at all. I just don't see that affecting their numbers. I think Best Buy is on the ropes, and they've got to pull off the ropes is in any way, shape, or form. So, last but not least, question, kind of a weird one, economy question. You know, have you seen the market as far as building these cinemas slowed down? The answer is, it's kind of a two-part answer, yes and no. I haven't seen it slow down, but I think we've seen it change. It's either really high end or it's
entry level,
but the mid-range has disappeared. So
people are either go and just bare bones or you know, Let's create something real.
Right. Yeah. No. And but the $10,000 to $20,000. So here's the problem: the $5,000 category is now $10,000 just because of inflation. The $10,000 category is now $20,000, which we haven't seen. That's what I'm talking about on that particular market in front has started to dwindle a little bit. And then the $20,000 mark has turned into $30,000 to $50,000, and then the $50,000 is going up between $70,000 to $80,000 to $100,000. So, you know, it's definitely shifted. I know it's been a lot more retrofit than newer builds. Like, we haven't done a lot of newer builds and pre-wires and things like that. We still need local business. We still support local business. You know, we need you guys to support local business. There are a lot of local businesses out there that are struggling just because things like that. But no, not really. We haven't really seen a whole lot of that slow down. I would say the pricing demographic has changed is really what we've seen.
Shifting.
Yeah, no. And it could be, without getting political, but making a political statement, it could be that you're starting to see the middle class suffer. Either the middle class is going up or the middle class is going down. As far as what's considered middle class, and that, I would say that's really a good analogy for the theater spectrum and whatnot. Last question was in regards to home automation. You know, are you an advocate for do-it-yourself technology or large home automation? I would say if Logitech was still around, then I would say do-it-yourself all day long. But since there's not a platform like Logitech anymore that's going to help you control your devices. The Apple TV remote was really good for a while, but then they broke something internally with that where it's not turning stuff on and off now, or it's decided that it doesn't want to get along with certain brands of TVs and certain brands of things like it used to. So I like larger application. I like larger automation platforms for certain things. So that's kind of a that's a harder question to ask or to answer, just because I think I need more input with what you're asking there. You know, whether it be, if you're talking about universal remote, there's really not a silver bullet for universal remote anymore. You know, Sofa Baton is trying to come out swinging with some of that, and they just don't have the database. It's not polished enough. It was launched a little too soon. It wasn't polished enough to really launch for prime time for do-it-yourselfers like Logitech. We're very, very sad that Logitech's not around anymore. So it's one of those things. I'm a Savant user. I'm a Savant programmer. I absolutely love Savant. I think it's one of the better platforms out there to use and to program. And there's a lot of Savant programmers out there as well that can, if you don't get along with your programmer, that can jump in and help you out without it being a big dramatic thing. But great question. All these are great questions. Keep them coming, because, you know, a lot of times we'll get stumped, because right now, between the months of June through August, there's not a lot of new tech news coming down the pipe to really talk about, because a lot of these manufacturers are holding this close to the chest via Cydia time, and when Cydia comes out, so we'll just have to see what's going on with there. But do you have anything else to that?
Yeah, I think we've hit it pretty good.
Okay, so that's your Friday cast. Sorry it wasn't as exciting as it usually is. I think we're just kind of polywogged or whipped from a crazy week and whatnot, but we'll be back for your weekend recap, and which is always a fun show to do, and then be back with you on Monday, as we just today crossed 900 listeners, I believe. So let's just jump in here and look at it on the fly live and see what we got going on. Let's see here. Yes, officially crossed the 900 threshold, 903 listeners all over the country, which is,
bam.
Yeah, which is, again, I'm mind blown and don't even really know how to respond to that project. So, yeah. So anyway, as we go out, I believe that's a cast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And this is your Technology Rocks podcast. Have a great day, and we'll see you when we see you.